Great. Thank you very much, Jess, for reading that. And if you have your Bibles, you may want to just open them, keep them open at that passage in Luke chapter 17. Fantastic. So what we're going to be looking at this afternoon, and it seemed appropriate because it's harvest, which is the festival of Thanksgiving, is this topic of how do we grow in thankfulness? How do we have a heart that is thankful to God? How do we remember to thank him when we are blessed by him? How do we cultivate, to use a very agricultural harvest metaphor, how do you grow your thankfulness? How do we cultivate this? Now, I want to say thankfulness is something that's really important, but I wonder how do you feel you are today in terms of thankfulness? Do you feel that you, as it says in 1 Thessalonians, you give thanks in all circumstances? It's very hard to say, isn't it, that in all circumstances I'm giving thanks. All day long I'm giving thanks to God. It's quite a challenge, but it's something that's clearly really, really important to God. Here's a couple of other verses. So in Romans, when it talks about people who don't know God, how does it characterize them? It says this: although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. So there's actually something absolutely fundamental about our relationship with God and giving thanks. It's like the whole basis, the foundation of the thing, that if we don't give thanks to God, we don't have a relationship, actually, with God. The opposite is, if we are alienated from God, we're a person who doesn't give thanks to him. Or what about in the Psalms? Very famous psalm here, 100 verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. There's a sense that if they wanted to come into the temple, how should they do so? They should do so with thanksgiving and praise. And so the same way, if we want to know God, if we want to draw near to him, in order to draw near to him, we have to have a thankful heart. That's what he wants. That's what he seeks from us. So just think for a moment, how do you feel about that today? I know for myself how often, you know, God can answer a prayer, and as soon as you get the answer, I get the thing, thank you very much, and I've forgotten it. That's it. I didn't come back with thanksgiving. So these are some things that God has been laying on my heart recently as well here. But it's an interesting question. Just to introduce this, why does God want us to be thankful? It's not like God needs anything, doesn't need anything from us. God is completely sufficient in himself. Why is it that he wants us to be thankful? Is it just that he's egotistical? He just wants to be praised? I don't think that's it at all. This is really at the heart of this talk and this passage, that thankfulness is relational. Thankfulness converts something that would be one way otherwise to a two-way relationship, from one way to two-way, and we'll look at that in more depth later on. So first of all, though, just something for you on your tables to get us started today. So here's a question for you. Can you think of a time when you did something for someone, or you maybe gave a present or something to another person, but they didn't thank you for it? And then how did you feel about that? How did it make you feel? So just turn to the people on your table and take a couple of minutes just to talk about those questions. Okay, I think we'll wrap that up. So perhaps we could just share some thoughts. So we'll start here on this table. Do you want to share anything, any time when you did something for somebody, they didn't thank you, and how did you feel about that? Yes. Yeah. You have to give the little. It's the little hand, isn't it? The little. Thank you. I think yes. That's true. Yeah. How do you feel when they don't? When they don't do it, they just drive straight through. You just feel annoyed. Yeah. 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 Ungrateful. Good. Yeah.
I think to me, it's less when you give someone something. But very in our culture, very much we always say thank you, gratitude. It's when you do things, for example, you might do the washing up and then no one does anything, like,
unnoticed.
It's more probably like those kind of things than me.
Sure. When you're not, it's not noticed, it's not recognised what you're doing. How do you feel when that happens?
I suppose that British kind of, you know, that, I don't know, that you're kind of angry that you don't.
Thanks, Sharon. Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Okay, thank you. Anything else? No? Yeah, I'll go to this table.
Alistair had a very good one.
Okay.
Yeah, I I used to do quite a lot of catering in my previous church, and Rob roped in to help cater for an event, and I borrowed a big church pot, and I filled it with stew for 40 people, and I took it down, delivered it to the church, and I didn't get a single word of acknowledgement. They just ate it, I went away, and I think I was I was a little bit mixed, but
I did actually go back to the lady and pointed out to her, did she enjoy this cue? It made me feel like nothing. That's interesting. Yeah, you just got back an empty pot.
Taken for granted.
That's good. Thank you. I can't remember, were you working on the stable, Dominic, or do you want? Yeah, I know that one. Okay, you might have right. Okay, I'll come to the stable. Thank you.
You know, similar doing something, not naming any names, driving somebody somewhere.
Yes, okay, I said sort of, the feeling of sort of resentment there, isn't it? And you think like, should I do this again? It's something that actually I want to do. And it's interesting, isn't it, that sense of, will we repeat this? Or do we sort of feel that we're being treated like a slave or like a machine almost? You know, you're like a vending machine for church food. It just gets delivered there. Or a sense of sort of just sort of rudeness or something in gratitude, not being noticed in there. And I think you think about this in a sense, I guess what all these things point to is a sort of relational aspect of thankfulness. You know, that in some way we feel that we're not being treated as a human, as a person who has done something for the other person. That all they wanted was whatever it was you were doing for them or about to give them. They had no interest in you as a person. So they treated it very, very unrelationally. And that's really, I think, at the heart of it. So if we get down into the passage, which we heard Jez read to us very earlier, it's probably one you've maybe heard before, I don't know. But the gist of it is this, isn't it? That Jesus is travelling along between Samaria and Galilee. So he's on this region between sort of Jewish region, Samaritan region. And he meets these guys, these 10 men who have leprosy. And they call out to him in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." So it's kind of interesting that all of them in some way kind of recognized who Jesus was. They call him Master. They realize that Jesus can help them. So they had some kind of faith. And what he tells them to do is he doesn't heal them there and then. He says, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they go, as they're on their journey, they're cleansed. Suddenly they realize they're completely healed. Now you think, if you've lived your whole life with leprosy, meaning you were, not only did you have a terrible illness, you'd be suffering greatly, but you were also outcast. You couldn't live with your family even. That's why they were probably together, the ten. They were probably a leper colony. After that, you think you'd be so grateful to Jesus, but actually only one person comes back, and he's actually a Samaritan, not a Jewish person. So he's kind of a stranger in a sense. He comes back, praising God in a loud voice. It said in verse 16, he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. So what is this all about? Why did the nine not come back? Sounds kind of outrageous, doesn't it? But it's funny, just as I was saying earlier, that in a way, that's kind of symptomatic of the human heart, isn't it? That's kind of the way that we are, that quite often, pretty quickly, we can forget what someone else or what God has done for us. How quickly our prayers can be answered, and we're so pleased we've got the answer. We don't actually return back to thank God. In fact, every day, we don't necessarily, I don't live a life of total thankfulness. I'm not always feeling, wow, I'm so thankful, just so thankful. Because sometimes we just want the thing. In that case, it was the healing, not necessarily the presence of Jesus. But just to think a little bit about this, without thankfulness, what is a person like? I think you know this perhaps. We meet people like this, the guy who doesn't, you know, thank you as you're driving. An unthankful person can be contentious, one sees cynical, critical, closed-minded, callous. All this sense of kind of hardness that comes from being unthankful. A person who maybe is ungrateful, thinks they just deserve it anyway. Such a person can be very difficult. We don't want to be like that. Consider the converse. Instead of contentious, if we're thankful, we can be harmonious. Instead of being complaining, we're appreciative, we're grateful. Instead of being cynical, we are trusting. Instead of being closed-minded, we can be open-minded. Instead of callous, we can be empathetic. We can be understanding what other people are going through. We live a life that's appreciative, that's joyful, that's peaceful. So we're going to look bit by bit through this passage here. I'll split it up into four parts, all beginning with a C, the four C's of thankfulness. So thankfulness, how do we grow in thankfulness? Hopefully we all feel that we want to grow in thankfulness to God. We want to be a more thankful person. Well, first of all, thankfulness comes from faith. Secondly, thankfulness cultivates a two-way relationship. Thirdly, thankfulness confesses reality. And lastly, fourthly, it creates abundant life. Let's look at the beginning. Thankfulness comes from faith. We saw at the beginning of these guys, it says in verse 11, "Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus travelled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have pity on us.'" So to some extent, all these guys had some faith in Jesus. They knew Jesus could help them. That's why they were calling out to him, "Have pity on us." But in the end, only one comes back. And how does Jesus, what does Jesus say to him? What does Jesus particularly note in verse 19? He says this, the final verse of this passage. "Then he said to him, 'Rise and go, your faith has made you well.'" What does Jesus commend? He commends the man's faith. He says, "Your faith has made you well." What is this connection then between thankfulness and faith? I think that faith is actually the basis of thankfulness. Without faith, we cannot be thankful to God. Let's consider an example here. We're celebrating harvest today. What was one of the first thanksgivings for a harvest in the Bible? Can anyone think? What's one of the earliest stories of someone getting a harvest and giving God thanks very early? Sorry. Bit earlier? Yes. Yeah, that early. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we'll go back to Genesis. Cain and Abel. So Cain and Abel, they were both farmers. Okay, Cain was a farmer of crops. Abel was a farmer of animals. And they both gave God something from their harvest. Okay. They both gave him some of their first fruits. But if you remember, Cain's offering, his thanksgiving, was rejected. Abel's was accepted. Why was this? Well, it says in Hebrews 11 verse 4, it says, "By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did." So the fundamental thing that God was looking for was faith. And actually, there was something different there, that Abel gave an offering in faith. He made it in faith. And thanksgiving without faith isn't real thanksgiving at all, because we have to understand what it is that God has done for us in order to give thanks. Right? It makes sense, isn't it? It's the basis of this. You see, it says in Thessalonians, "Give thanks in all circumstances." And sometimes we can be going through really hard times where we don't feel actually like we have much to be thankful for, maybe. Because maybe we're suffering. Maybe we are enduring some kind of hardship. Many things just don't seem to be going well. But it still says, "Give thanks in all circumstances," or every circumstance. That's where our faith comes in. Because essentially, we always have something to be thankful for. Because if we believe that Jesus came into this world and died to save us, to give us eternal life, then that's always true. If we believe that we are deeply loved by Father God, then that's always true. If we believe that God's presence is with us, day by day, in the Holy Spirit, then we have something always to rejoice in. These are things that can never change, and this is actually the most important things in our entire lives, far important than anything else. If we have faith that all of that is true, then we will be thankful for it. Conversely, if we're not sure about that, if we're a bit uncertain about it, then no wonder we don't feel thankful. Because every day is a mixed bag. It's a slightly different picture here. So faith is absolutely essential to thankfulness. They really go together. That thankfulness comes from faith. And so this man here, not only did he have faith that Jesus would heal him, he also had so much faith in Jesus that he wanted to be his follower. He was going to come back, and he threw himself at Jesus' feet, and he thanked him. All of that came from his faith, which Jesus said, "Your faith has made you well." It was his faith that Jesus commended. The second point. So if we're growing in thankfulness, We're cultivating a two-way relationship. And this really came out, I think, from our discussion on the tables here. So God wants us to be thankful because he desires a relationship. There's nothing God needs from us. He doesn't need anything from us, but he wants things from us. Verse 14, it said, when he saw them, he said, go show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. So this Samaritan man enters into a relationship with God. And this is a really profound point, that it's thankfulness that changes the dynamic. Now, we occasionally do things for other people. We might help them out, we might give them something. But in God's case, God's nature is to bless. No, God is gracious, he is kind, he is generous. And he has done something for everyone. Even on the unrighteous, they get rain. Even people in this world who totally ignore him, they still get nice things in their life to enjoy some of the time. They still get breath. Jesus still died for them. The potential is there. So in some sense, God has done so much for everybody, whoever we are. God is gracious, whether we accept it or not. But what changes, the difference there, is we're thankful. You see, remember it said in Romans, it said they neither glorified him as God nor gave him thanks. Our thankfulness is our response to God. It makes the relationship two-way. Otherwise, God gives everything. God gives everything to us. He's given us everything in Christ. But do we respond to that with thankfulness? Do we make it a two-way relationship? Or like the lepers, is the idea just that, yeah, we'll take it, thank you very much, and we're gone? Or like the leper who came back, do we want a relationship with Jesus? It's our thankfulness, essentially, that makes it two-way. But how do we do this? I think, well, that sounds kind of complicated. What do we do? What do we do practically to be thankful? Well, this is something that I found out about, and I think it's actually really amazing. If you look in what these words mean, what's the main Hebrew word for thankfulness in the Old Testament? Is yadah, right? It's a very basic word, and what it literally means is to, like, put out your hand. So if you're, like, throwing a stone into the sea, it's this sort of gesture, and you end up with an open hand. And what's really interesting is exactly the same word for confess. So you might remember, if you've read Leviticus, it's up there, Leviticus 16:21. When the high priest puts his hands on the scapegoat, he confesses the sins of Israel, it's the same word. So you could read it, but he puts his hands and he praises on the goat. Sounds strange, doesn't it? What it means is he confesses. And what that means is he's basically just admitting the truth. He's saying the truth. And so it's the same thing. When we praise God, all we're doing is we're saying the truth. We're admitting the truth. It's that sense of like an open, being open-handed. And we still have this gesture today, don't we? It's the footballer, you know, when he's committed the foul, and he's like, what? You know, not me, nothing wrong, I didn't do anything. We're basically saying, look, I'm there, I'm open. I'm not hiding anything, I'm not concealing anything. And this is the same sense, I think, here, that thankfulness means to not conceal anything in that sense, just to be totally open and say, Lord, I recognize these are the things you have done. This is what you've done in my life, this is what you have done in this world, and I'm giving you thanks for it. I'm acknowledging, I'm confessing it. So in that sense, it's nothing mysterious, nothing strange, it's just an open, honest expression of what God has done for us. But our heart isn't always there, is it? Our heart isn't always there necessarily all the time. And that's why so much in the Psalms it talks about instructing your heart. Because your will can instruct your heart, right? Because our heart, our feelings can sometimes be all over the place. But a bit like this guy, we have to have express our will, and sometimes have to say to our heart, be thankful. Right? Be thankful. We don't know what the others were thinking. Maybe internally, maybe they were a bit thankful, but they didn't come back to Jesus. Only this one guy came back. In the New Testament, the word for thankfulness is Eucharisto, Eucharisteia. We get our word Eucharist, the Lord's Supper, whatever you want to call it. It comes from this root word of charis, of grace. It just basically means to the same sense, to recognize God's grace. To say, wow, Lord, that's your grace. That's what it means to give thanks, to recognize and acknowledge the grace of God. So a question for us is, do you recognize today the grace of God? There's nothing more important to be thankful for. Many good things God has given us, but nothing more important to be thankful for than the grace of God. So I'd like you just to think now on your tables, is there something that you are feeling particularly thankful for at this moment? Just turn and spend a few minutes just to talk about that. What are you feeling thankful for? What are you giving thanks for? Okay, I think let's come and share now what we were talking. I'll start this side first of all. What are you thankful for?
Well, I've been thankful and thankful for my husband. He was all grew up in the Irish Catholic Church. For years I shared my faith with her, and then the last few weeks we've been going to a church, a Baptist church near where she lives.
Oh, great.
And it's just been massively encouraging and being thankful, remembering that God can do amazing things even if you.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Yeah, praise God. Thank you. Is that something?
I'm just thankful that we've got such fantastic news to be able to tell people that we've got the gospel.
Yes. That's brilliant. Thank you. That's great. Yes. Anything on this table?
I'm thankful that my wife is always right. last Saturday, last Friday, we went back down to Paddington to do a changeover in the house. And we had a fine of £400 for fly tipping at a time we were not actually there. And their only evidence was a piece of packaging with what he'd named the address on. That was it. That's why they accused us of fly tipping. So just be careful when you name an address, shred everything. Anyway, what he was absolutely cool as a cucumber about it, didn't do it, so it's not my problem. I'm thinking, I'm getting a fine saying, if you don't respond, you go to court, if you don't provide evidence, you get £50,000 fine, and I'm like, maybe I should pay £400. So I was actually quite nervous about it, but then I said, okay, no, we are in the right, we're justified, I'm going to give praise to God, joy of the Lord is my strength, but since last week up to Thursday, every day, it kept coming back in my head. I couldn't rest, truly rest. It was stealing my joy, stealing my hope, stealing my thankfulness. And I had to keep making myself thankful. I was forcing myself. Saying, Lord, I'm not going to stop being thankful because I'm scared, because I'm worried. Thursday evening comes. That's the end of the day. We go to bed. And he goes, oh, there you go. It's all been cancelled. And I said, oh, that's terrible. She goes, what do you mean it's terrible? I said, you're right again.
That's good. Thank you. Thank you, Dominic. That's great.
Can I share for the benefit of the present company that I'm very grateful to have found the 12-step recovery group that puts Jesus in
right. Amen. Thank you. I come on to the last table. Do you want to share?
I like what Dominic, but I really believe that the time of God really just puts the right people in your life, whether that's your parents or the right kind of person you need at work, your manager or anything. So I think just all the friends and people that we have in our life, we should be very grateful. That person who is with you when you're going through that really hard, which gave you what you needed, but to. God doesn't take you out of our struggles, but He often gives you what He needs and the people you need. So,
sure.
That.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, God puts people around us, doesn't He? He gives us community as well. Yeah, that's brilliant. Thank you. Okay. Well, that's great. It's good to hear quite a range of different things that we covered here. So thank you very much for sharing all of those things. And just thinking about how we can take all those things on board and then keep a thankful attitude this coming week and every day, perhaps in the morning when we're praying or whenever we pray, just to give God thanks and praise for all of these things. Just a final point then. Thankfulness, the fourth C. Thankfulness creates abundant life. If we put this into practice, what's the result? We can see that the lepers were, first of all, that they were cleansed for nine of them, but that's where it ended. That's where it came to an end. They received what they wanted. They received their healing. But that was the end of that. For the one man who came back, who threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, thankfulness resulted in his discipleship. He became a follower of Jesus. He spent more time in the presence of Jesus. And when we come back to God, when we come to Jesus with an attitude of thankfulness, this is borne out in fruitfulness. Remember what Jesus said, that apart from me, you can do nothing. But when we come to Jesus daily with an attitude of thankfulness, we actually enter into the life that he promised. This is real, true life, and life that leads on to eternal life. And think about the quality of this. Just imagine if you were married, or if you were married, that if you never said thank you to your husband or wife, how that would affect the quality of your relationship. No. In a similar way, if we never say thank you to God, we're diminishing the quality of relationship, the closeness of fellowship that we could be enjoying with him. And so the fruitfulness of a life that is lived in companionship, in friendship with God as part of his family. So thankfulness does have an end product as well. Thankfulness produces fruitfulness. So just to wrap up then, a few thoughts and application here. Who wants to be more thankful? Anyone interested in being more thankful? Yeah, I'd like to have a more thankful attitude daily. I'd like to remember to give God thanks when he answers prayer, when I think about different things. We want to be like the man who came back, not like the nine who just left it at that. It starts then with faith. So we've got to believe and reflect on what God has done. Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. So as every day, make sure that we're taking in something of the Bible. Yeah, we need to be reflecting on the word of God. And when we do so, it's worth just letting it sink in. When it's called bread, imagine it like bread baking in the oven. Have to give it a little bit of time. Just reflect, just meditate on what God has done, on everything that we have to be thankful for, just to allow it to dwell so we can more richly appreciate it. And from that comes an attitude of thankfulness when we really believe and understand what God has done for you. And then remember to seek relationship, not the transaction. It can be easy to do with our prayer list that we just want the answer, we want the transaction. But think about how we feel when that happens to us. It's not a true relationship. So seek relationship, not transaction. We want to be deepening our relationship with God. And an open-handed confession of reality. This is just this sense again that it can be quite simple. All we have to do is just think what God has done. Whether it's specific things in that day or everything is done for you in Jesus. Just be open-handed and say, Father, this is me. This is me with my sins, and this is you with your greatness. I just give you all the thanks and I give you all the praise. So let's think how we can maybe work on that day by day, perhaps this week, to cultivate a heart of thankfulness. And for me, for all of us, it will be transformative. And I think it will change our lives. We think of all the good things we talked about earlier that come from having a thankful heart. So maybe let's just spend a little bit of time in prayer now before I just hand back over. And we'll just come to God to seek his help. Father, we do give you thanks and praise for everything that you have done for us, Lord, and everything that you are. We know, Lord, that we could surely never exhaust the thanksgiving that ought to be there, that is owed to you. Please, Lord, we pray, Lord, for a stronger faith. We pray, Father, for a stronger appreciation of all of these things. And we pray, Father, that you would please help us to really grow in thankfulness, that we might have a richer, deeper relationship with you, that we would appreciate all that you have done for us. And that, Father, you will please help us to sometimes even to instruct our hearts to be thankful. Father, we know that we can do none of these things by ourselves and our own strength. So we seek the help of your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father. And we're confident that you will answer these prayers, Lord. That our whole attitude, our character, and moment by moment, we might grow in thankfulness to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.